You know, so many times we go through the sermon and we'll have some interesting points to bring out. Interesting points to bring out and things to share and different scriptures to walk through. And I think every once in a while we need to go back and realize the most important part of all. The thing in Scripture that grounds us. The thing in Scripture that gives us a foundation to stand on. And that's the fact that God loves you. Robin Ballard's testimony starts with, you know, one day I was just walking down the street and some kid in a car hollered out, "Hey lady, Jesus loves you." And it began to make a difference in her life. So many times we as human beings, we as people in our culture will feel isolated, we feel put apart, we feel like we're not part of whatever's going on. We feel like we're not part of a group or there's a bit of loneliness that comes on. And if we can get our mind wrapped around the fact that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter who's talking bad about you, no matter if the police are showing up to put you in handcuffs, hopefully that's not going to happen anytime really, really soon, but, you know, things like this happen, that God still loves you. Doesn't matter what is going on. Doesn't matter how bad our circumstances are. There is an absolute certainty to the fact that God loves us. And if we can get our mind wrapped around that, maybe we can begin to put some of our circumstances in perspective. The God who loves us, as we find things happening in our lives that are difficult, as we find things happening in our lives that are devastating, in the middle of it all, if I can just get my mind on the fact that God loves me, He's not allowing things in my life just because, by golly, you need some punishment. He's not allowing things to come into our life because He doesn't care. He's not allowing things in our life because He's mad at us. God loves us. And if we get our mind wrapped around that God loves us, we have to come to the realization that no matter what our circumstances are, we don't have the full picture. Now, we live in a lost and fallen world. We know that. We know that life is difficult. We know that. We know that families break up. We know that people get hurt. We know that people die. We know that no one gets out of this life alive. We know some people will live a long time and other people don't. We don't understand why some of the things happen. But if we will get our mind wrapped around the fact that God loves us, then maybe we can at least grab a hold to that sliver, even in the middle of the storm. Probably should have grabbed Praise You in the Storm for one of the songs today. Even in the middle of the storm, even in the middle of the devastation, even in the middle of the problems we face in life, if we get our mind wrapped around the fact that God loves us, this ever-present God who knows everything about us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, knows everything that's going on in our lives, knows the beginning from the end, knows every step we're going to take, every misstep we're going to take, every time we're going to stumble, every time we're going to fall, still continues to lift us up and guide us and lead us by His Spirit and pour His love into us. That's the God we serve. John 3, beginning with verse 12. Because sure, I could just do John 3:16. Everybody can just do John 3:16, but you need a little context, don't you? Jesus says, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe it when I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Very interesting thing in the scripture. He who does evil, where is it? Verses 19 and 20. This is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. Thinking of what's gone on this past week with the rioting in Charlotte, North Carolina. During the day, the protests were nice and peaceful. But as soon as it got dark, it was the rioting. There was the looting. As soon as it got dark, the evil felt it had free rein. The wickedness in the world around us is just evidence that we serve a God who is so gracious, so loving, so merciful, that even with the wickedness in the world, and we know back in Genesis when the flood came, the scripture says God looked down and saw that the heart of men was fully set to do evil. Yet God still prepared a perfect sacrifice. Knowing the wickedness in the world, God still loved us so much that He sent His Son to provide a way of escape. He sent His Son to provide a way to learn to walk in holiness, a way to walk in righteousness, a way to stand before a holy God, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness imparted by Jesus, because our sins are paid by His shed blood. God loved us so much that looking down through time, He could see us where we were before He finally got a hold of our heart and before He touched us and turned us. As wicked and messed up as we were, and still love us in the middle of that and said, I've made a way for you. So that prayerfully, as we grow, as we learn more about Jesus, as we learn to reflect more and more and more of the grace and mercy and love of God, I'm not saying we're there yet, but as we pretend to change, as God continues to work in us, we can see progress for what God has done because of His love. How the grace and mercy and love of God working in us has changed us. I praise God I am not the person I used to be. I praise God I was not going down that path anymore. That God is in His mercy, loved me so much that He was willing to make a way and draw me by His Spirit so that I would be willing to receive His mercy, willing to receive His love. We get our mind wrapped around that. That's the importance of the gospel. That's the importance of dealing with everyday people. That's the importance of walking out this life, is knowing that God loves us. God cared so much for each and every one of us, and each and every person going by, and each and every person you're going to encounter, that He sent Jesus, willing to pay the price. Jesus here tells Nicodemus. Yep, he's talking to Nicodemus here. He tells Nicodemus that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is early in Jesus' ministry, and he says, I'm going to end up being crucified. He knew what was coming. And he said, but God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Have everlasting life. There, very early on in Jesus' ministry, he said, this is the reason I'm here. The disciples kept missing it. Jesus kept telling them on and on and on the things that were going to happen, and they kept missing it. They did not understand what he was talking about. But Jesus knew and was willing to go through it. In Romans 5, beginning with verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength..." How's that for an understatement? Without strength. "We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were utterly hopeless and helpless. When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. For not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." Because of Jesus, Scripture says we can go boldly, come boldly before the throne of God. We have access into the heavenlies of heavenlies, into the Holy of Holies. We have access right into the very presence of God because of Jesus. Because we stand having His righteousness and not our own. Because God made the way when there was no way. You know, that we sing the song, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way." This isn't a seems to be. This was, you are separated from God because of your sin, period. You could not come before God without a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. Scripture says the blood of bulls and goats are not sufficient. And because we were already sinners, we could not provide our own blood sacrifice. God had to provide one for us. A perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, without sin, willing to lay down His life on our behalf. Praise God. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 17. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." I'm going to continue reading on a little bit, but I just wanted to stop right there. So how many times do we read that verse and get convicted? Because we're not as loving toward the people around us as we ought to be. "He who does not love does not know God." Praise God, He is not finished working in me yet. Because as this is as good as it gets, we have problems. But God is still at work in each and every one of us. Through His love, through His grace, through His mercy. Because when He looks down at us, He sees the completed work. God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. It's also in 1 John, but not in this chapter. It says, or I don't think it's in this chapter, it says, "We do not yet know what we will be, but we know when we see Jesus, we will like Him because we will see Him as He is." As God has worked that perfection in us. Verse 9, "In this, the love of God is manifested toward us, that God sent us His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent us His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Propitiation is not just a payment, but is a complete, all-encompassing fulfillment. It's not like, okay, you paid your fine, but still on your record we have here that you were a speeder, Mr. Chrysler. It's not like when I had contacted the Selective Service. I'm in a real interesting situation with the Selective Service. Everybody knows what selective service is. Men born after January 1st, 1960 have to register with selective service to be eligible for a draft or whatever. And without it, you cannot get a government job. Without it, you cannot get a government loan of any sort. All this, you know, and there's other things in it, but there's requirements in it. Guess what? I never enrolled in selective service. I was never eligible to enroll in selective service. And I ended up getting into quite a bit of a discussion with the Selective Service Board. Because I joined the Navy the 1st of October of 1979. This law came into effect January 1st, 1980. The law says that, of course, like I said, anybody born after January 1st, 1960 had to enroll. You could not enroll if you were active duty military. If you're already active duty, you could not enroll in selective service. You have to enroll before your 26th birthday. So I was already on active duty when the law came into effect. And I was still on active duty past the time I was eligible to enroll. You had to enroll before your 26th. So when I got out, I tried to enroll. They wouldn't let me because I wasn't eligible. So getting a government job and a government security clearance, they said, they wanted to know about my enrolling in selective service, and I explained it to them. They sent me to the Selective Service Board, so I explained it to them. And they came back and said, yes, you're right. You didn't enroll, but we forgive you. I said, that's not going to work. And I said, while my situation may be unusual, I guarantee you it's not unique. There are other people that fit this category. And I explained it all to them. And they're like, you're right. You were never eligible. Therefore, the fact that you never registered is a moot point. So you were never bound under this law. That's propitiation. Jesus said, it's not like you did wrong and were forgiven. Jesus said, it is all completely paid for. Do we get that understanding? It is as though we never sinned. We stand holy and righteous before God as though we had never sinned. Because Jesus is our propitiation. Not just you paid the fine and were forgiven, or not just said, yeah, you did it, but it's as though it never happened. If God loves us so much that He's done that for us, as we find ourselves in situations in life that are difficult, can't we grab a hold to the fact that the God who loves me that much is really, truly, honestly going to bring good out of this situation like He's promised He's going to? I believe we can. I believe we can hang on to that. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Yeah, have those people that get on your last nerve? Praise God, I still do. God's still working on me. We ought to love one another with that love that God loves us. And we can't do it on our own. Face it. You know? Be honest. I have a hard time being nice sometimes, much less being loving. But God is able to do great things if we will seek His face and say, God, I want to be like You. Lord, I want to forgive. Lord, I want to love. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I can't do it on my own. Lord, do it through me. Seek the face of God to have Him work through us, to show His love abroad. Just like He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins, He will, through His Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us to pour out His love to the people around us. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Did you catch what it said there in verse 17? Because as he is, so are we in this world. We were talking last week about God's plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is to be like Jesus and display Jesus everywhere you go. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We are here to be representatives of God. We are here to be, as the Scripture tells us, living epistles, written love letters from God to the people we encounter. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, because of the love of God working in us. Final passage of Scripture, Revelation 1, verses 4 through 7. Remember, in Revelation we have John yet again. We've read the Gospel of John. We've read some in 1 John. Now we're reading John talking again. John, who referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And as he's talking to the churches, as he's sending his letter to the seven churches that are in Asia, read what he says in the salutation. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. John says, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. As we go through this life, as we face difficulties in this life, as we face people that get on our nerves and God is using to perfect us, recognize that no matter what our circumstances are, we can grab a hold to the fact that God loves us, did not leave us where we were, and is working to show His love through us. We grab a hold to that. Grab a hold to the fact that no matter what, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is, no matter who's getting on our nerves, no matter the difficulties we face in this life, we can grab onto the fact that God loves us. And knowing that, we can make it through anything. Because worst case scenario, absolutely worst case scenario, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God loves us and He's never leaving us, even to our last minute. And even forever. Praise God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you love us. Lord, that you provided the way where there was no way. And Lord, you didn't just mark in your tally book that we had paid the fine. But our sins are blotted out, paid for completely. The propitiation of our sin, Jesus Christ, not only took away our sins, but imparted to us His righteousness. That's the way you made. That's the plan that you had set in place before the foundation of the world. That you made the way where there was no way. That we might come boldly before your throne. That we might walk through this life not being oppressed or concerned or overwhelmed by the situations around us. Because no matter what's going on around us, we know that you love us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We are not orphans. We are your children. heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and you've made us to be kings and priests. And we give you all the praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.